I count it a privilege to be able to stand here and share a testimony of God that is personal to me, and I know I wouldn't be here if it wouldn't have been for him not giving up on my life, and so therefore I count it a privilege to be here. As we were singing that last song there, I was thinking about how it said our cornerstone, and how this morning there is hope because Jesus is the cornerstone of my life, our life, of our church, the body of Christ. So looking at my testimony, looking at share glimpses of my life, I guess, leading to that. Two things I think about is choice and choices and commitment. And so being born into the world, think about how I was born with sin, and I don't look to stand here this morning and give any credit to Satan and the world and sin. Rather, I want to look at the redemption power of Jesus Christ. But just looking at sin and thinking of Psalm 9. Talks a lot about enemies and the enemy, things like that. And I'd like to look at it this morning as that enemy is a sin in my life. And so as I read Psalm 9, 1 through 18, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause. Sitting enthroned as the righteous judge, you have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken my enemies. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. So looking at sin in my life and just even the existence of that darkness, looking at the enemies, endless ruin has overtaken my enemies. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness, judges the people with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in him, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing the praises of the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. For he who avenges blood remembers he does not ignore the cries of the afflicted. Lord, how my enemies persecute me. Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises in the gates of daughter Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his acts of justice. The wicked are ensnared by the works of their hands. The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, all the nations that forget God. But God will never forget the needy. The hope and the afflicted will never perish. So looking at life as at an early age, through my youth, I want to read another scripture here. 1 John 1 verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. And 1 John 2:1, it says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." So looking at the sinful nature, and again, I don't look to excuse any sin this morning. I take full responsibility for being born into the world as a sinner, making choices that I did throughout my life. And so to give a little bit of a just glimpses of my life story and into my testimony here, I was raised in a home of six. I had six siblings. There were seven of us. I was second to the youngest, so I was actually the spoiled child for 7 years until my youngest brother I was almost eight when he was born. So I was always running after, trying to do everything my brothers did, and then some, and which turned into squabbles and fighting sometimes. But looking back, overall, I praise God that I don't remember all the bad things, and I really appreciate my family and looking at the life that we spent together. So some of my strong will, I guess you would call it, led to some of the choices that I made in life. I just enjoyed doing whatever I could. I enjoyed a challenge. I enjoyed doing whatever I could get my hands on, which without the subjection to Christ, I got myself in trouble at times. So a couple of things to outline my youth. I guess under the age of 15 was fear and discouragement. So I look at it today as I recognize it as it was moments that I was becoming responsible for myself, and I don't. Maybe it was God's way of helping me recognize him and where I am. So at a very young age, I had a lot of fear of traveling. Every time we would get on the road, I would try to figure out which route we're taking and try to figure out which is going to be the safest way. And I was just sitting in the back seat. I had no control over any of that. But it was a fear I had, and I think it was God drawing me to himself. So a little later on, I don't know how that kind of went away then, and life returned as normal. But a little later on, I just very suddenly, like within a day or two, I met a total discouragement that I never had experienced before. It was just to the depth that I had lost all hope, and I just remember sitting in the classroom. I think it was the last session of the day, and it seemed I had no strength in my body anymore. I just had my head on my desk the rest of that session until it was time to go home, and I didn't know how life was going to go on. And so with that, it I didn't know how to express it. I laid awake at night and I didn't know how to express it or put it to words what I was feeling, other than just complete discouragement. And again, I think it was God bringing me to a place that my self-will can't do on its own. He was bringing me to the end of myself. And so I just remember that time. I was awake most of the night. I think early in the morning I heard my mom was downstairs. She was doing her morning routine, packing lunches and things like that. And I remember getting up out of my bed and was getting ready to walk down. And for whatever reason, I stopped. And I don't know if it was because I thought, well, this is foolish. What am I going to say? What am I going to talk about? I went back and laid down again, and therefore I think I built a wall between myself and the outside world or the relationships possibly. So that was a time of it continued for I don't know how long, but just a disconnection from people and just kind of in a place of discouragement. And I remember my family mentioning things about me not being myself, and I just didn't know how to explain. I didn't know how to bring it out, and because usually I was always up and doing things and full of life and things like that, and I just wasn't that. So with that, I feel like I calloused over with keeping my feelings to myself, and led me to finding fulfillment outside of what I actually needed. So life went on, and I remember fear returning, like around when the 9/11 Trade Center attacks, terror attacks were. Just at over that same time, there was arsons in the area, and just in my mind there was a lot of fear. And I remember one Sunday afternoon after church, standing out in the outside, and just this feeling of peace just came reigning over me. Like it, I just felt like I wanted to stay in this moment forever. And remembering that moment, looking forward, I remember recognizing the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so from, even though I didn't recognize it as much at the time, but moving forward in my life, I could, when I felt that, it went right back to that moment, and I knew that it was life. There was life there. And so from there, whenever I walked into a place that I felt life, I connected right away. And so with that, I want to read Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so I found a lot of rest in my home. Like I felt like there was a refuge there. There was a sanctuary there that I could rest in. And I think that was later on in life, that same feeling, that same experience of life transferred to the sanctuary in Jesus Christ. And so as a 15-year-old, I was kind of challenged with joining a youth group and all that. It seemed, yeah. And I just vowed to myself that I'm gonna live a clean lifestyle, I joined the youth group, and my intentions were good for a while. I started chasing after things again I was deceiving myself with, am I responsible for myself yet? Or somehow I will repent before I die. But without that commitment to serve Jesus and the positive influence around me, I continued to live a selfish, sinful lifestyle. And that feeling of there's got to be life out there somewhere, because I felt it. There was moments in my life that I felt there was life, and I kept, in my flesh, I kept seeking after it, turned to other things. But there was another moment of life was when I went to Mississippi to work in the storm aid, help with the storm aid from Hurricane Katrina. I was there early in the year and then returned later in the same year. And while the time that I was there, I just felt that the presence of God in the devotional time, just in other times in serving the community. And so again, this was a time where I felt life, and I knew there has to be life out there somewhere. And this was also the second trip to Mississippi. We went with our youth group, and it was a time that Sarah Ann and I connected, and maybe our friendship became closer than it ever had before. And so I remember thinking when we come home again, I was going to live a different lifestyle. I was going to do something different. But yet, without a commitment, without a goal, I returned to my old ways of selfish living, turning to sports, diverse sins, leading to a vicious cycle of darkness, emptiness, and pain, all while knowing there must be life out there. There's life somewhere, and it seemed there was a wall between that. I just couldn't get to it. But yes, selfishness and victim mentality just drove me into a deeper place, away from God, deeper into a sinful lifestyle, just causing that or creating that vicious cycle of chasing a cure for my situation, trying to comfort what was left of my conscience. And I tried to excuse myself for trying to believe God is not returning yet, or I would suddenly repent before death. All this delusion caused a great callus over my conscience. And so this may be a very broad overview of my youth, my life. But I was in a place where I was beginning to enjoy sin. It was actually a time that I remember that I actually admitted to myself that I enjoy where I am and where I'm going. And I don't know if it was because I was trying to relieve the pain of what I was missing. I was trying to make myself feel better that where I'm going is actually where I want to go. But I just remember being satisfied with living in sin. And I praise God today that he didn't give up. On one pivotal night, I was seated with my best friend as we sat there, sort of in our own thoughts. My friend turned to me and said, "I feel like if I were to die tonight, I would end up in hell." And it's just that deep conviction. Here I was committing myself to the devil and his work. And it was just that deep conviction that this is the result thereof. And Hebrews 4 verse 12, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account." And so I was living a life that I was basically walking over the pit of hell. And the Bible talks about hell being a place of fire and torment and things like that. But I think the worst part of that is separation from God. I think hell a deeper meaning of hell is actually the separation of God. And even Jesus on the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I think when my sin came before him, when he was dying on the cross, my sin came before him, and he had to bear all those things. I feel like he felt the depth of hell at that moment. And that is the separation of God. And so anyway, by the way, that friend that is now my wife, and I think I I'm so thankful for her and her commitment, and yeah, just walking with her over the years of many things that trials brought our way, and God has a way of drawing us to Himself. But praise the Lord, He loved me unconditionally and didn't leave me wallowing in the mud that I was in. As I was faced with many trials along the way, He brought me to the end of myself. He brought me to the end of myself that I knew I needed something. I knew I needed something else. And so from that moment on, that pivotal night, we started attending church regularly, more regularly, seeking after the things of God it seemed like for me in the grips that I was in, it took a long time to actually turn from some of the old ways, and it took many trials along the way. And now looking back, I'm thankful for those. God knew what He was doing. There was times that I had no idea what to do next, and so I praise the Lord for His goodness and mercy. And throughout the years, I just think about some of the people in my life as different men, mentors, and there was different small groups that I was a part of, just sorting through different things, sorting through life, and it's almost like peeling an onion. You renounce some things, and God allows other things to come. But through that, there was just this pure joy of knowing that He will reveal if there's anything else that I need to bring before the cross, and therefore I could continue in peace. And I guess I'll kind of end to the testimony of this. There's many years in my life there of refinement, trials, and just I have a lot of good memories of the people that walked alongside of me, that I was a part of, and just yeah, it's a blessing to stand here today and know that God's timing is perfect. Words from mentors, words from strangers, God's timing is perfect to nudge you in a direction that He wanted me to walk. And so there was one evening, just through many of the trials and many of the things in life, what I thought was just a random evening walk, as I was always connected to music very well, and there's times that I would just listen to music and just let my mind connect and worship, and so one of these evenings I was on a walk by myself and felt myself coming to a place, I felt God drawing near, and I just started pouring out in repentance, pouring out everything that came to my mind. And it was just a beautiful, it was painful, all the things that came to mind. It was painful, all the things that came forward. And when I was done, when nothing wanted to come forward anymore, it turned to total commitment, worship, completely done of myself. And just that overwhelming feeling of praise and worship and joy, and then there was peace. And it's glory to God that He didn't give up on the one that was out to. So as I think about that, Billy Graham has a quote of the cross: "The cross is the only way of salvation. and the cross gives a new purpose to life. And that's what that evening was for me, was just bringing everything before the cross under the blood of Jesus, and there was a new purpose, there was a new life. And from what had already started transitioning from there forward, the new life continued to redirect the things I was currently doing into things that God was leading me into, and continues to do so. And so, yeah, it was that feeling of just being fully surrendered to Jesus Christ and allowing Him to lead, allowing myself to be that full service for Him wherever that may be. And so what I get excited about is when I think about the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, think about the heroes of faith, how they walk the same earth that we walk today, and how, I'll just read it here, in Hebrews 11, verse 39, it says, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." And in Hebrews 12, 1, it continues saying, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." As I was reading that, I'm not sure if I ever recognized that before, but I am standing here today surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The heroes of faith are standing. According to Scripture, the heroes of faith are standing. They're witnesses of what is happening today. And in as a body of Christ, we're all one. And I just view it as these heroes of faith standing in the on the sidelines cheering us on today. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think I don't have the Scripture for it or anything like that, but there's this. In Scripture, it talks about when Jesus returns, how the saints will rise first, and then the believers in Christ, those will rise up and meet all those. So, 1 John 5, 1-5 says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. And in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." And so that is my desire, to be fully surrendered to Jesus Christ and what the future holds. I don't know entirely, but I want to be committed and faithful to what He has, and also ask for the brothers around me to keep me accountable if the path I'm walking is not the direction I should be going, to nudge each other on in faith. So.